on inequality. And that last piece was intended to leave you with a little bit of hope. My name is Carlos Chavez, and I produced today's program. I'd like to thank Deborah Arthur for the opportunity to share and to record her class. I also want to thank the students both inside and outside of the facility for their great research and perspectives. I want to thank Kathleen Fullerton, Hope Partnership, and the Oregon Youth Authority for helping to make this opportunity possible. And at last, I want to thank you, the listeners, for tuning in. This is Carlos signing off for KBOO Community Radio at 90.7 FM in Portland.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of Golda's Balcony, produced by Triangle Productions. The play runs from March 10th through April 1st at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza in Portland. Golda's Balcony is the final work for Tony Award-winning playwright William Gibson. The play is a portrait of Golda Meir, an Israeli teacher, kibbutznik, stateswoman, and politician, and the fourth elected Prime Minister of Israel. Again, that's Golda's Balcony, March 10th through April 1st at the Sanctuary at Sandy Plaza, 1785 Northeast Sandy Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Wednesday, March 15th, 2017, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio, your sanctuary radio, your resistance radio, at 90.7 FM on the air, kboo.fm everywhere. Weather for the next couple of days, very wet indeed, and this is a premonition of what's to come. It's not a premonition, it's a promise. Because one thing that climate change, climate collapse, if you will, holds in store for the Pacific Northwest is a lot more rain. So it's not a matter of getting used to it so much as it's a matter of preparing for it. And more to the point, it's a... Just leave the fossil fuels in the ground, because it's going to cost a hell of a lot more to repair the damage and to prepare ourselves for what's to come if we don't leave it in the ground. The idea, too, that's cropped up and along with... It's funny how people don't make the connections. All of this is connected. So we've got massive flooding, again, more and more, and landslides, one after another, all over Portland, all over Cascadia, really, changing the landscape in many and various unforeseeable ways. So that going on somehow has failed to remind those who want to do another bridge or put up a bigger bridge or something because of the traffic congestion that traffic congestion doesn't mean you need more bridges and freeways. It means you need fewer people. There are too many people trying to use that the what is available, our so-called infrastructure. Infrastructure means two very different things depending on who's saying it. If we're saying it, we're thinking about bridges falling down underneath our cars. And if Trump's saying it, it means build more pipelines and dig up more fossil fuels. So there is a gulf of understanding here on a rather grand scale. That said, we've got a few headlines that are important to get to before we try to reach once again on James Henry. James Henry, as many listeners know, is a progressive economist who joined us many times to disentangle financial and more economic, not to confuse the two ever, financial and economic make questions. And today's question, of course, is regarding these tax returns, two pages of tax returns. I don't know about you, but my tax returns are all more than you can't tell very much from any two pages, I hope. And the thing too is the timing of it and the means whereby they became public in the first place. So there, as with anything of this nature, why now? So we're going to look at it. We're going to look at the context, the conditions surrounding this the revelation, and to that end, what's going on right now? There was a piece in the recent New Yorker about a Trump hotel in Azerbaijan that has is literally a steaming pile of questions there. How anyone could possibly make money off of it is the first question that comes to mind. But then, of course, comes the New York Times with the news that a New York real estate company owned by Trump's family, the golden boy of the Trump's extended family, which would be Tony Kushner, he's involved in negotiating to sell a $400 million stake in his Fifth Avenue flagship skyscraper, get this, to a Chinese insurance company with ties to leading families of the Communist Party. The company, Anbang Insurance Group, would pay to get a high-profile piece of Manhattan real estate. I'll say it's not so much high-profile real estate, is that it has the Trump name splashed on it. So they're committing to spending billions more to completely transforming this 60-year-old tower into the condominiums and so forth. If this deal is signed off on, the potential agreement would create a financial marriage of two politically powerful families and in the world's two biggest economies, but it would also present the possibility of glaring conflicts of interest, right? The Kushner family, owners of the tower, would reap financial windfall courtesy of the Chinese group. Even Jared Kushner, a senior advisor to Mr. Trump, his son-in-law, and helps oversee American foreign policy. And this is really troubling because this is exactly the type of deal that Trump assured everyone that this was not, that it couldn't possibly happen, and that he was going to avoid conflicts of interest such as this at all costs. Ha ha ha, I guess it's the at all costs part of the equation that we should look at a little bit more closely. And in along the same financial lines, which in the Trump world merge actually into the U.S. economic architecture, Trump wrote off more than $100 million in business losses on his tax returns to reduce his federal taxes. And going back, this is 2005, so you know, according to forms made public on Tuesday, there's a glimpse of these documents that he had refused to disclose since becoming a candidate. Trump paid $38 million, and you have to understand this again. This in $38 million in financial context, and what it really means is a percentage of what the guy is worth. We think that's a pittance compared to what you and I pay in taxes. If in fact we're still paying taxes, which many of us aren't, $38 million in federal income taxes on reported income. Of $150 million. So my problem with this whole thing is the reported income. We've got these stories of the Azerbaijani project, and we've got the pending the Chinese deal, and the Trump family. If you don't, they think they are a close knit little dynasty, you'd be very wrong. They are, and this Jared Kushner's deal with the Chinese has got to be factored into all of this. The funny thing about taxes is that they don't, taxes to a certain extent are a timeless phenomena in America. They stretch backwards, they easily stretch backwards and forwards in time. And create this a universe of a decade or so in which they romp and play. The White House is claiming losses. Trump apparently saved millions of dollars, of course, in taxes that he would otherwise have owed. The White House says that even waiting for this is... The news came out before Rachel Maddow aired on her program, before being elected, of course, don't forget, Trump was one of the most, they say, successful businessmen in the world, with responsibility to his company, his family, and his employees, and definitely in that order. Definitely company, family, employees. Make no mistake that Trump probably would sell out his own family. And any one family member would sell out the rest of them if it meant a profit. We are waiting still for James Hennedy to come and sort this out. Until then, you, dear, have, unfortunately, you have me. This is a program about connections between financial holdings, financial families, and once those financial holdings and families are large enough, they actually do have a gravitational effect on the economy as a whole. And all of us, as so-called consumers, not citizens, consumers, we are written off as a necessary operating expense. We are very much expendable. We only have value in this. How should we call it today? What do you want to call it? Capitalist autocracy. That's good. I like that. That's a good one for today. But in this capitalist autocracy that we have allowed to come into being and flourish, we are we're just simply operating expenses. We can be written off at any time. We are not, we don't function anymore as citizens. We are valued as consumers, hence the Consumer Confidence Report, because what keeps Wall Street afloat, of course, is consumption. And the consumption is what consumption is what we contribute to this whole operation. You might even call it, if you wanted, galloping consumption. So that said, moving right along, again, Trump is surrounded by situations, not all of them of his own making, which is both a good thing and a bad thing if you think about it. So try not to, is my advice. But regarding the wiretapping, they say that that they're very confident that wiretapping evidence will emerge from probably from some appliance somewhere. That said, the very idea, the word wiretapping, that in the same sentence as the White House, is so disturbing, so alarming, so completely. It's being taken seriously now, right? It apparently originates with Breitbart News, right? And that, of course, that was the first punchline. The thing about the Trump finances is in Trump's world and Trump's occupation of the White House, his punchlines just keep coming. First, it was ridiculous that this wiretap story comes from Breitbart News, right? And then all of a sudden, serious people are taking it very seriously. Now it's way out of hand. What? Are they playing along with the joke to amuse themselves and to keep busy until they're all fired? It's difficult to see where it's heading. If it is such a ridiculous origin story, now why is everybody rushing to prop it up? Very hard to understand. And now take just as we have no more time, and that's a good thing. And just the last piece of this puzzle. Apparently, our the Supreme Court Neil Gorsuch has some very, very dicey ties with a publicity shy billionaire.